Look.
That my cousin like we bang blue, homies in my circle, it's the same crew, used to never win, now we can't lose, we can't lose. Cold game, don't let it change you, watch the people you keep in your company, you can't come around if you ain't wanna be, this is big dog status, I'm a big dog. And I put that on my mama.
They say I'm outspoken. They be quiet, my mouth talking. I've been out in the field, life for real. Not a drill, this ain't the route chosen. But my appeal fit with the real. Fame without boasting, less of a thrill. More Navy SEAL. Militant but rational, vigilant. I be in my feelings, it's hard ignoring my sentiment. They say me to death, booked them. I'm all about the Benjamins. Hard hat and some Timberlands, noble. That's my synonym. My rank is a higher up when it come to moral compass. Sense of direction, still elite when I drink and functions. Henny on the rocks, I be drinking. And tea at the luncheon. Get it from my daddy, I come with a little dysfunction. Please excuse the temper and lack of the small talk. Hey, I'ma make it clear, so don't ask me to ballpark. No, they ain't really cutting. Not from our cloth. Taking solace in how they speak and know that they far off. Polish beyond my means. Know how much I'm worth, but I'm richer than what it seems. Soul is pure gold and a lot of millions in green. The one that calls the scene, cause I never be on the scene. Always on base, bruh. Never in between. They confused in a pickle. The game will do you cold. They abuse and dismiss you. Family full of alphas. I'm diffusing the issues. They protective, watching for the ones that use and forget you on my mom and them.
That my cousin like we bang blue, homies in my circle, it's the same crew, used to never win, now we can't lose, cold game, don't let it change you, watch the people you keep in your company, you can't come around if you ain't what you want, this is big dog status, I'm a big dog, big dog.
$1 million worth of game, man. I'm Wallow 267. Right here, we have Gilly the Nut. We got Tony the Closer right here. And my man, Dame Dollar, a.k.a. I put 50 on you any night. What? Who? What team? That's how I used to be when I was in the joint. I remember I had this one game in the summer league where I come down, man. I had 49, right? I go to lay a ball foul, man. I almost had 50 in, you know, in the jail. I'm talking about the jail books. You know what I mean? This one I was playing. Then when I got recruited to Penn State, it was going to be, but I messed my ACL up. My ACL got, it been tender ever since.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a back and forth with me. You know what I mean? But we got my man, Dame Dollar right here, man.
So hold on. Let me just tell you something. What I tell you about introducing me, man.
Yeah, I got to put your name. I'm just, Gilly the Nut. That's your name. You're a nut.
You, stop introducing me, bro.
Why are you worrying about that, man?
Cause you not no introducer. You no,
I'm just hyped right now. I'm just hyped right now because he reminds me. Like you understand, coming up, Ray Allen. That was me and Ray.
He wanna be in this corner.
I'm just saying.
Stop introducing.
No,
me,
right
bro.
Now I'm hyped because we got similarities.
All right.
What's your similarities though? That's what the fuck I want to know.
What's the similarities here?
They used to call me like Ray.
He rap. You used to rap.
Listen, rap. Can shoot the. You know what I mean? I'm a shooter. Like everybody know that, man.
This episode of $1 million Worth of Game is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka was born from an uncompromising passion for great vodka. This commitment to excellence enabled New Amsterdam to produce vodka of superb taste and unparalleled smoothness. Y'all know the New Amsterdam is 80 proof. It's from the finest quality grains from America's heartland. It's distilled 5 times with an unparalleled smoothness. And guess what? It's filtered 3 times for a clean, crisp finish. New Amsterdam Vodka is slightly sweet on the palate, smooth to drink. I mean, you could drink New Amsterdam with anything, man. You could drink it straight up. You could drink it on the rocks. You could use juice. You could use soda. Or you could make a classic New Amsterdam Mule. So check this out, man. Make sure when you're out and about at any liquor store, make sure you grab you some New Amsterdam Vodka. And shout out to the New Amsterdam Queen. Hi. My wife, too. Yeah, you know, she always having get-togethers at the crib with her girlfriends. They make cocktails. You know, they be getting saucy off that New Amsterdam. So when you're out and about, make sure you pick up some New Amsterdam. You know what I mean? The official vodka for who? $1 million worth of game. And it's just like that. Right. Man, we got my man Dame Dollar in the building.
Dame Dollar in the building. Dame, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
Dame, listen, man. Killer. Come, you know. I just want to know, did you have a chip on your shoulder on when it came to coming out of high school and they know the recruiting you had to go to Weber State? Like, did you have a chip? Like, was it something there? Like, y'all don't know who I am? Y'all playing with me?
It wasn't really like y'all don't know who I am. It was just, I felt disrespected because a lot of people that I grew up with, they start getting recruited and they was in all these rankings and all this other shit. So I was like, I mean, some of these dudes I'm on the team with, some of these I go to school with, I grew up with, like what? I didn't see the separation that everybody else saw. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing in pro-ams and rec leagues and open gym and everything around the city with these same dudes in the same Oakland Athletic League.
Was you cooking them dudes?
I mean, I always been the same player. That's always the crazy. That's the craziest thing. Like, I always have done the same thing. Right. Like, people that I grew up with now, they like, you play the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, you do the same stuff. And I'm like, I don't change a whole lot. I just keep getting better at what I do. Mm-hmm. And it's been like that since I was younger. So I wasn't really looking at it like, y'all don't know who I am. It was just like, who are the people evaluating? Like, who making the decisions? Because, they basically picking who they wanted to be instead of looking like, you know, having real evaluation.
That was when you really realized that even in high school basketball, a lot of it is politics.
Exactly.
I experienced that, like, early. Mm-hmm. Then, you start going to these tournaments, and when you moving around through the hotels, you seeing the people who writing and who ranking everybody and all that stuff. You seeing them with certain teams. Mm-hmm. And on that team, the number one player, mm-hmm. they coaches with this person. Mm-hmm. And some teams got free gear, and they wearing, you know, sponsor uniforms and all this. And it's like, okay, like, we was on 4th Street selling See's candy and magazines and all that for our plane tickets and the rent vans and stuff like that. So it's like, I started to see, like, okay, it's deeper than just who working the hardest and who hooping. I was like, okay, it's deeper than that.
That's when life show you that it be all about who you know and not what you know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Is that still in your mind when you get on that court every night? Is that still in your mind, that whole journey coming up out of the town?
I mean, I always carry it with me, but I don't. I'm not emotional about it. Like, yeah, I remember when I was in high school and they didn't know. Now I'm just like, I'm going to keep reminding y'all.
And for those that don't know about the town, I'm not saying that the town is the Oakland. Yeah, you know what I mean? The Bay Area, Oakland. Shout out to my man 40 and anybody out there, you know, Too Short. You know what I mean? The whole crew. You know what I mean?
Vallejo,
Richmond, you know, the whole yay area. My man Simba out there, he out here doing his thing right now. I just had to, you know, for those that don't know what the town is.
And Simba snapped recently.
Yeah, he's snapping. But it's like, you know, you come, you get up in the league, right? You're destroying stuff. But one thing I like about you is you never forget the town. You never forget the people. You know, you got this connection and you got this heart of gold when it comes to the people that come from where you come from. Yeah. And we ain't talking about come from where you come from as the geographical and just this name that just come from that struggle. You know, where did that come? How do that still live in you?
I think it's like the simple fact that that's really what I come from. Mm-hmm. You know, I think once you get, and I didn't realize this until I got to the league. Once I got to the NBA, and you just see how people operate, and you see how people speak, and what they think of certain situations, and I just listen, and I'm like, okay, like that's not the thinking of a person that comes from what I come from. Absolutely. Or they wouldn't do this, or they wouldn't say this, or, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So you pick up on those type of behaviors, and you're like, okay, you know what I'm saying? You start to, you just learn. And you also realize that a lot of people say they from something like I'm from, mm-hmm. but they show otherwise, you know? And I think what we see is a lot of people become somebody and they say, you know, I'm from here, or where they might be from a place, but then they were just the best basketball player in that area. Like, they didn't really grow up in the middle of the stuff that I grew up in the middle of. So, like, I carry it with me because I actually was in the middle of all of these things. Like, when I go home, people know me as, like, what's up, Dane? Like, we went to school together, we caught the bus together, we done seen it all together. So now that I'm in the league, I'm just like, I carry that with me because I really come from that. Like, that's really who I am. So I don't got to go out and try to prove it to nobody, or I don't got to act a certain way or do shit to try to convince people. Like, people who know and that come from what I come from and who would know, they're going to see it. You know, they're going to see it in you. Mm-hmm. And that's good enough for me.
What one player in the league?
Player or play?
What one player in the league always give you a hard time?
I mean, I don't think nobody always give me a hard time. And that's just the reality. Like, Some nights I'm going to play Steph and he's going to get the best of me. But it ain't going to just be every time I play him, he's going to get the best of me. Same thing with Russ or CP or
one-on-one you Kyrie. Versus Russ.
I'm taking myself in one-on-one versus whoever. And I expect everybody to take they self.
Let me ask you this question. Who's that one or maybe two people or maybe three people in the league that it ain't no personal beef? Yeah. But we beef on this court. And tonight. Oh,
yeah. They gotta die.
Tonight.
You dying tonight.
I'm going to do everything in my power to cook your ass tonight. Like every, like, oh, we playing them tonight? Oh, yeah. Such and such, we playing such. I know you going to be guarding me. Yeah. I know you going to be talking hella shit. I'm going to cook your ass tonight.
I think the obvious one is Russ. And we, me and Russ is cool. Yeah. Like, we actually cool. But yeah, when we get on the...
When y'all lead off the court, everything
yeah,
is
once we get
to
off the court, it's NBA not personal. Right. But it's like, once we get on the court, I don't know what it is. Like, we just bump heads on the court.
Right.
And I think part of that is, like, he come after me because he know I'm going to be the one that's like, I'm not going nowhere.
Right.
I'm coming right back at you. Right. So, I think it's more of a respect thing, but I would say Russ, number one. Number two, I'd probably say Pat Beverly. Because that started before he was even a starter. Like he was.
But the thing, Pat Beverly is not going to really come back at you like that.
He's it ain't, not gonna, but it's not
like
that.
He going to give you 40.
No, it's
he's
not him coming back at you. He just, he going to challenge you.
Right.
And it's like, he going to be physical. He going to foul. He going to talk. He going to complain to the refs. And he going to be there the whole game. He don't care like
does
how bad
in
it
head?
Is. No, it don't get in my head. I just, it wake me up, if anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it make me even more on point when I'm, like, dealing with somebody that I know he, like he said, I know he ain't going to give me 40, but, like, he just trying every little way to make my life hard. He trying to take me out of being who I am. So it just put me on my toes a little bit. And that started before he was a starter. He was just, like, coming off the bench in Houston, and they'll put him in, he'll pick me up full court, elbowing, like, I don't get texts, but with him, we got like three separate situations where we got double texts. Cause it's like from jump, he'd come in testing me, like, "Oh, you got the wrong one," and I'd be like, "No, you got the wrong one. Like I'm the right one. Like I don't look the part, but I fit the part. That's how I feel. Like wherever it's at, I'm willing to go there." So, but it's not personal with him either. Like it's literally on the court. So
just you got to get cooked tonight.
Just it's gonna be what it's gonna be.
Absolutely.
So I would say Russ. Pat Bev.
Paul George.
We and him don't have no... me and Paul George, this is the thing. We and him don't have no kind of back and forth history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only history we have...
No, we got that.
The only history we have is when I hit the shot on him against OKC. And then when we all got into it in a bubble. But, I mean, to me, that ain't nothing. Like, I've only said the truth. I ain't said nothing other than the truth. So, I don't... That ain't, like, no back and forth to me. At least.
Yeah, but that how did that walk off feel? I just need to know.
Nah, I don't
think it's a walk off shot in the history of basketball that was like that. Like you got Jordan, you got Kobe emulated him. And then you got Brian when he didn't really think it was going in. Then he went in and he lost his mind. And you know what I'm saying? You got Ray Allen in the corner. But to hit it from 40 feet and then.
That shit was gangster.
Then your homies jump all on you. You still ain't smiling. Just,
yeah,
weren't your sister in the crowd or you like?
My
you
know, sister was right there on the court. And my brother, court,
yeah.
Like, yeah, they was right there.
How did that feel?
No, I felt good. That was like it was a lot of back and forth shit in that series. Like we won the first two games, and we went to OKC, and then they beat us in game three. Like they was dunking at the end of the game. You know when you up, and the game over, like at the buzzer. PG dunked at the buzzer. They was talking shit the whole game. And we was saying our shit, too. Like, we was talking shit back. Like, CJ probably the most trash-talking player I'd never played with. But
CJ McCollum?
Yeah.
He be talking crazy?
What?
What?
Y'all, hey, y'all have no idea. So, they won game three. So, it was like, And then after the game, it was a lot of back and forth through post-game press conferences. They said, this person said this, this person said that. End of the game, Dennis Schroeder was like, you know, ain't no Dame time today. There was a lot of, like, everybody was all in. So once we got to game five, we won game four, the next game in OKC. We get to game five. And at that point, it was like, they got to go. Like, we ain't. If we get them tonight, this going to hurt. So, really, once we got to the end of the game, and they was up like 15 in the fourth, and we came back. And once I saw we had the last shot, I was like, this going to hurt. Like, if we get them out tonight, this going to hurt. So, after I hit the shot, it was like, I just waved.
Did you
like,
mean to do it? It was just,
that
just,
shit was like literally on the spot. Like, I didn't even think of it.
You did just was.
Yeah, I just.
The look, though, you had on your face was. Get your asses
on everything. That's exactly what I was thinking. It was that was like, I usually I'm not moved left or right. Usually when somebody talking shit or whatever happened, I'd be like, as long as it don't turn physical, right. Like on something else, like I'm usually not moved by it. But in that series, I was like, we have to win. Like,
right, they talking crazy.
Yeah, it like, was like that. Like, we gotta win.
So who the top five shit talkers in the league? Like, talk the most shit right now in today's time. Draymond Green got to be on there. And we just saw me throwing C.J. McCollum on it because I didn't even know
he'd
be talking.
Nah, C.J. for sure on the list.
I didn't know he'd be talking crazy.
I really don't know because...
Russ. I just named three of them. Draymond, Russ, and C.J. McCollum.
Draymond, Russ, C.J.
And I just know them because you can see them talking.
It's like you
crazy.
Can see.
Like, I can't see CJ.
But I really don't know because I don't be listening. I swear to God.
You zone out. You going to
get I don't be listening.
So how did you hear Paul George and Russ and them in that series?
Because they was directly talking to me. Like, we was, like, I remember at one point in game three at OKC, I'm dribbling the ball up and Russ is dribbling the ball up and I'm guarding him and we're literally talking shit to each other. Like, when he bringing it up, I'm like, why you switch? Why you switch? And he like... Nigga, ain't nobody running. Something. We literally going back and forth.
Yeah.
So, like, then I was engaged in it. But usually, like, somebody hit a shot on me, I'm going back to get the ball. I'm not, like, looking to see, like, who said something. I'm just like, oh, he made a shot. And usually that's when it takes place. But, like, I really don't know because I don't be listening. Unless somebody come right in front of me and be like, or say something, I usually don't know.
Growing up, right, outside of the Bay Area, who did you listen to hip hop? What is it, you know, some stuff that people would say, damn, you was listening to that? They would be like shocked of.
I mean, obviously, all the Bay Area, I had that right there.
Outside of that.
I was more like East Coast. Like, I like East Coast, like bars and like rapping. And I always like Big Pun. I like Biggie. Pac, my favorite all the time. Even he East Coast and West Coast. Mm-hmm. Andre 3000.
Okay, Dre.
Juvie. Like, Juvie was hot in Oakland. Like, when I was growing up.
Yeah, Oakland on fire. Gil used to be, what's his name, Rhodey. Like, he used to do assistant work for Juvie on Cash Money back then. Billy Blunts and all that stuff.
I know about Gil.
You know, go get his drinks, his snacks. No, he used to handle they writer. Okay. He's for Juvie.
All right.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, that was your thing. It's cool.
Ain't trying to put smut on my name.
I really listen to a lot of East Coast, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, like Wu.
Like who?
Wu. Wu-Tang.
Oh, yeah. I fuck with Wu-Tang.
Okay. Now, when it's music, you going into that studio, what is your process? You write or you come in here? What did you do?
No, I write. So usually what he's
pro for writing. He always, no, you got to write, you got to write, you got to write.
I mean, everybody be like, I don't write, but I don't know what that means. Like, is it a freestyle or you just like record and you think of something while you're in there?
Punching in.
See, when they say they don't write, that's really a lie.
Like, I don't write it down, but I'm still doing the same process as if I write.
All you're doing is, if I come up with a line, right, whatever the line is, right, the truth is, I don't feel y'all niggas. I feel like Shaq. I should kill y'all niggas. all you doing is saying a line over and you're, oh yeah, okay, the truth is I don't feel y'all niggas. I feel like Shaq, I should kill y'all niggas. The truth is I don't feel y'all niggas. I feel like Shaq, I should kill y'all niggas. I keep the, and then you just add knowing
to
it.
It's basically like writing.
So you're writing it, but you're just remembering what you say in your head. It's not like, oh, I just go in the booth and I rap the first thing that come to my head and right. then I add, no, you're writing that shit down.
That's what I figured.
It took you an hour to sit there and do the shit. You just didn't write the shit physically on paper because for me, it's easier to remember it in my mind than it is to write it on paper. Because right. as I'm writing it on paper, the truth is, I fuck up the flow of what I'm right. saying the shit in. You know what I'm saying? So nah, for me, it's always been like that. But to all the people, I don't write, you're right.
I figured that's what they meant by I don't write.
Right.
Because I know ain't nobody just freestyling and coming up right. with a hit. But
absolutely.
Now on 2K21, right? Who do you play with?
I don't play with nobody. I play my career. Y'all be doing a my career on the game? Y'all ain't never? That's all I do. I don't play against nobody, none of that. So my career, basically, you start off in high school. You create a player. You start off in high school. And based on how well you play in high school, like schools recruit you, you pick a college. And you play 10 games in college. And depending on how well you do in college, then that's how high you get picked in the draft.
What? I ain't never heard of that.
And then when you get picked, you come into the league and you're coming off the bench and you're basically trying to work your way into the starting lineup and you're basically trying to become a star. So it's like the whole process. I just enjoy that process. So that's the only thing
I'm talking
I do
about
in the
before
game.
You was in, when you played, before you was even in the league, you played, right?
But I was playing the same shit. The only reason I play 2K is my career.
You like because
I just enjoy that process of like, yeah, oh, okay. like that
I didn't
rise.
Know nothing about it. I gotta make me a player.
See, you're going to be glued to it. You're going to be on
you
the
edge. You're going to go into the park, though.
I mean, on the new one, you got to play in the park so you can get access to everything else. But before that, I play in the park sometimes. Like, he'd get me to play in the park, but I never do that shit by myself.
Now, let's talk about that process because you just spoke real highly about the process. You're like, basically, you enjoy the process. There's a young cat out there. There's a bunch of them. Young. Yeah. They live in North Philly, Harlem, New Orleans, Zone 6, Compton, Oakland, wherever. They're all over the country. And they want to be you one day. They want to be Dane. Tell them how to get there.
I think the number one thing I would share with them is, for one, just to have character. Like, be a solid person. Work hard. Care about yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that don't mean don't care about other people, but you got to take care of yourself. Be responsible for yourself. Be accountable for yourself. I think a lot of kids skip that stuff because of, you know, they looking at what other people doing. And I never followed, you know what I'm saying? I would just take bits and pieces like, all right, my brother went to junior college and he would have went to this school, but he didn't pass this class. My other cousin was good in hoop, but he didn't make the team because he was better than everybody, but he was just selfish. He was hogging. So, like, I grew up around people that I just would always take shit from, like, okay. And I did it silently. Like, I never went to them like, oh, what happened? I just noticed it for myself, and I just applied it. Like, even with my dad, I watched my dad, like, you know, everybody respect him in every room he go into. He basically in charge, but I just watched his behavior, and I kind of took that. And then it was like, okay. So basically all of those things made me like, okay, so I got to be responsible for myself. I got to handle my business. I got to be a hard worker. I got to be a good person. I got to have compassion. I got to really genuinely care about people and have other people's best interests, because then once they learn that about me, they're going to go harder for me. So I figured out like what I needed to do to give myself the best chance to be successful.
One thing I love about Simply Safe is that it keeps me protected. I'm talking about 24/7 professional monitoring. I'm talking about, and it's simple. I don't care who you are. Anybody can set it up yourself in like 30 minutes. I'm talking about, it's super easy. You can set it up and they're going to take care of you. And for all my listeners out there, what Simply Safe is going to do, because of me, because of $1 million worth of game, they're going to give you a free home security camera with your purchase of a Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/game. You also get 60 days risk-free trial. so there's nothing to lose. Visit simplysafe.com/game for your free security camera. SimpliSafe got your back day and night, ready to send the police, fire, or EMT when you need them most, straight to your door. I'm right here. I know. Oh, what are you at my house? No, I seen the alarm go off. I'm SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe, yeah, I'm here for you. Oh, I didn't even know in the back of your house. I think it's something. Oh, my, I didn't even see what was going on. I didn't even know it was a break-in. I did. That's why I'm here. SimpliSafe.com. What are you waiting for? SimpliSafe.com/game. Come on. We got you.
And you break down that handle your business, because now we're living in a world where as though everything is about image. But like, I'm going to put this image out there, but I ain't going to put the work in. Yeah. Because, you know, on social media, you'll see that everybody's rich. Everybody made it. Everybody done this. Where's the work at? There, nobody show you the process, the work. And how important is handling your business like in real time? Like you know, handling your business to me, when you think about, when you saying it to me, I'm thinking like you talking about getting in that gym, lifting them weights, eating right.
When I say handle your business, I mean it's stuff that you're not going to be praised for mm-hmm. all the time. You know, the stuff that people not always going to see. Like, for example, I get up every morning at 7 mm-hmm. and I go lift. I box, I do conditioning. I leave there about 8:30, 8:35. I go right on the court at 9. And then by like 10:30, I'm done. And I'm back at home, my son just getting out the bed, my girl just getting out the bed. So they don't really, like, they know that I'm getting up to go work out, but they don't know the investment of, they don't know what I'm really doing every single day, how many times I'm looking around. Like, I'm in a 14,000 square foot mansion. I got every car I want. I got enough. I done made enough money now to where I don't got to do nothing. Like, mm-hmm. I can just wait till my contract up and I'm good. Like, I don't got no issues. My mom got a house, my brother, everybody straight. But it's like, I do this every day. You know what I'm saying? I handle my business every day. And by doing that, when stuff hit the fan or stuff don't work out, it ain't going to all fall down. You know, it might be a step back or maybe two steps back, but all my shit ain't going to fall down because I wasn't living off of what I think everybody else see. I'm living my life off what I know I do every day. Like, when I'm rapping, I'm not just rapping, just writing shit that I think everybody want to hear. I'm like, this is really what I think. This is really how I feel. This is really experiences for me. So, like you said, everybody's rich on Instagram. Everybody doing good. Everybody is the realest person in the world. Everybody can fight. Everybody can do this. Everybody can do that. But when you live in a facade, like, it's going to come to the light that you lying eventually. Somebody going to find out something, or you're going to leave a hole somewhere without covering your tracks. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come out, and then it's going to be like, oh, he was lying to us. Mm-hmm. We don't believe nothing you ever told us. Then that's when it all falls down, because your foundation wasn't shit and you wasn't really handling your business. So I make sure I handle my business because, like, for example, 2 years ago, we 3-seed in the Western Conference. We get swept in the first round by New Orleans. Mm-hmm. To everybody else, it was the end of the world. But I went on the podium after Game 4 in New Orleans after we got swept. Our team coming in, like, damn, you want to do the podium? It's okay if you don't want to. Tough night, whatever. I'm like, no, I'll get on the podium. And I went up there. I said, we lost to a better team. It was our time to get our ass beat. And I didn't play well enough. I got to be better. Like, it wasn't as hard for me to get up there and do that on TV, because I know that it didn't happen because I didn't handle my business. It was just my turn to go through some shit. Like, but then the following year, we did 3-seed again, and we playing OKC. We beat them 4-1. I hit the shot he was just talking about, score 50, walk off 3, come back, beat Denver, go to the Western Conference Finals. Like, I believe in that type of shit. Like, right. I handle my business behind closed doors, whether people see it or not. Mm-hmm. I'm the same person when I'm with all my cousins or if I was walking down the street by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that about myself, so I'm confident because of that. So when shit happens, it's like, okay, I handle my business. But for people who skip those steps and skip that type of stuff, when shit go bad, it go bad. It's over for them. And I think that's what we see a lot. And like, people come and go now more than any other time.
And another thing, right, to all the youth out there, right, he made a point, and I want to elaborate on the point that he made. He said once he made it, he got the 14,000 square foot house, he got all the cars, He got everything he could have ever wanted in life as far as materialistic life things. But he never got complacent.
Yeah.
He never started chilling.
Because for certain people, it's like, okay, I always wanted to get to this point. But now once you get to this point, it becomes about legacy.
Yeah.
It becomes about, okay, what type of name am I going to leave out here?
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Because now this is deeper than the 14,000 square foot mansion. It's deeper than all the cars. It's deeper than me being able to go into the Gucci, Dior, wherever I want to go. Now it's about where I'm going to leave my name at as far as the all-time greats.
Right.
Am I right?
So no,
to all you youngins out there, you got to... He already had in his mind that where he wanted to go at with. See, a lot of times, a lot of youngins, once they get rich, once they get the money, once they, okay, I made it. I'm done.
Yeah.
I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish because now I don't got to struggle no more. And that's when you don't get up and go to the gym at 7 in the morning.
No,
you don't, because see, that's something you got to want to do.
Yeah.
Because you could be, like, oh, man, I'm chilling, man. Because guess what? Even if I don't go train like I'm supposed to, I can still score 24.
Yeah.
I could still do 24 for 3-4 more years.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's going to catch up to me and I'm going to make my money and I'm cool. But you really want to be great. So to all the youth out there, y'all got to determine whether you want to be great. This is a guy that came from Weber State, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
11 points in his freshman year.
Man.
Imagine going to a lower tier Division I college and scoring 11 points in your first year. Your chances of going to the league, they ain't that high. But then he come back his second year, 19, right? First team all conference, right? So it was the work that was put in. It was the work. You put the work in. You ain't got to worry about who watching because God watching. Okay. It's a reason why I keep telling you youngins, it's a reason why I've been able to be relevant for 20 plus years. Because no matter what I'm doing, they not going to outwork me.
No, you was only relevant like in neighborhood, like in the neighborhood rap scene. It wasn't like, I'm just trying to figure. You keep talking about this relevancy stuff. You
20 was only plus years.
In the neighborhood scene, bars, little back block strip, speakeasies. You did a speakeasy tour.
They not going to outwork
me. Who did a speakeasy tour? You did a speakeasy tour, Gus.
You did karaoke night up to prison.
And that was back. That like, wasn't no speakeasy
you
tour.
You did karaoke
you
night up to prison.
You did a speakeasy tour. You did a tour with like, a bunch of winos like, around the country.
Okay.
And you acting like you keep putting out, like, yeah, I did a world tour.
But I got paid.
Yeah, you got some liquor.
Let me to your point, though. Like,
you did karaoke night for free up
to
prison.
To his point, like, it was never about the money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, of course I wanted to, like, my thing, I wanted to take care of my family.
Better your life.
So, like, as far as the money went, it was only for my family to, like, have shit. It was never like, well, I want to have it. Like, I wasn't even into cars until I got money and I started, like, I literally was about to get my first apartment. I drive into the apartment complex and Nate Robinson lived in the apartment complex in Oakland.
Yeah.
And I see his, he had a Panamera, like, parked in the underground garage. And I seen it. I told my agent, like, what's that? I didn't even know what it was.
Right.
He was like, oh, that's that new Porsche or whatever. I was like, that's the car I'm going to buy. And then I was in China. 2 years later, I see an all-white Bentley GT hard top, black wheels, blacked out tint, red interior. I walked up to the window and I looked in. I seen a red interior. I was like, I'm about to get one of those. I came home. So it was like, it was never about the money.
Right.
It was like, and like, you say legacy, and for me, like, to begin with, it was like, man, I'm gonna come from Weber. They gonna remember me. Like, I got drafted. I went to the league. I did rookie of the year. I did all this. But I didn't even take a step further now because back to what we just talked about, the politics.
Right.
Like, my legacy as a basketball player might be limited to what they want it to be.
Right.
Like, even now, I didn't average 27, been a 3 seed, and I'm not even in the MVP finals.
And,
so what do you think about super teams? Because that's what I wanted to ask you because, you know, somebody like you, you've been balling and you going up against what everybody knows is stacked decks, right?
So they
say champions is how they judge the players now.
That is. I mean, I think that's why you see a lot of players jumping teams and teaming up with other players, because the pressure of the media and, like, the standard that they putting out there. Like, oh, this person don't got a ring. And, like, how they talk crazy to Charles Barkley on TV, like, he ain't Charles Barkley because he didn't win a ring. So, like, it's forcing dudes to be like, well, I'm going to go play with this person, or if I get with this person. But to me, like, if that's what they want to do, then I don't got no problem with it. Like, it's whatever. But for me personally, that's just not something I can do. Like, I'd rather go out there and put my best foot forward and lose before I do that, because I know I can win if I do that. Like, we supposed to win. If we all get on the same team and we the best players, like, we supposed to win.
So you would never do it?
I would never do that. I mean, no, I don't control. Like, if the team decide to trade me somewhere and I, you know what I'm saying? I can't control that, but it ain't for me to just be like, all right, I want to go find.
So you can't picture you in the summertime, like, yo, such and such and such and such and such and such, you know, Toronto got a bunch of money over there. All three of us go there.
See, I would be like, you know, if it's a player that I feel like could help our team, I'd be like, you should come to Portland. You know what I'm saying? Right. I would run it by him like that, but I'm not about to click up, like, all right, to where it's damn near a guaranteed win.
Right.
So it's like, that just ain't for me. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I also don't play to the pressure of the media. Like,
right.
I know the power of me being me and who I am. And I prefer that over, like, oh, he ain't win a ring yet, and he ain't did this.
So,
like,
you're not,
man,
judging
so what?
Winning a ring for your personal?
No. Because what I was saying before we start talking about this, like, my legacy is going to go as far as they want it to go. And I realized that, like, people say, you know, this person, like, I get love, I get credit for what I do, whatever. But, like, I know that it's going to be the impact that I can have on, like, kids coming behind me and people who don't get to see the places I've seen, but they share the same experiences and background as me. Like, I know the impact I could have on them because I really lived it. Like, I really came from the neighborhood and to a small school and unknown, and I've made it to, like, the highest level, like, in this game. I've made it there. So, like, I can give it to people on a level that's more real than probably anybody else can. Like, I really don't know. Like, DeMar DeRozan, I know him, and I know he's really one of those people that can do that. But I don't know how many people get to this level, like, in sports or whatever it might be, that really has ties to people that, like, really need it like we do. Everybody might say they do, but they really don't. Like, and I know I do, so I've looked past, like, oh, what my legacy gonna be? Like, bro, I get up and train every day.
Right.
I'm not scared of nobody. Like, every my team, if you go look at availability and who's available to play every night, go look at up the percentage. You're gonna see me out there over 95% of the time.
Right.
In my career, I'm out there. Rolled ankle, whatever. If it ain't broke, I'm out there.
Right.
I'm a soldier with my team. When we lose, I don't throw nobody under the bus. When we win, I don't say it's because of me. When they saying, oh, the coach, I don't say nothing about none of that. I just show up and do my job, and I done got to the level that I'm on by just being solid and doing stuff the way that I know I'm supposed to do it. And then now I'm starting to do the other stuff that I really care about. The legacy program that I'm doing through Adidas, the intern programs, all the different stuff that I'm doing, even in my neighborhood and with my family, like, investing in people's stuff to where it's going to put them in a better position. Like, that's what my legacy is. I'm going to still put my best foot forward. I'm going to still compete and try to win a championship. Like, I feel like I'm going to win a championship. But if it don't happen, that ain't the end all be all for me. Because, like, the media ain't, they not going to ever make me sweat by saying, oh, well, he's not a winner. Like, y'all, a lot of y'all motherfuckers ain't winners at nothing. But
right.
criticizing people.
Right.
So, like, I just feel like I'm not going to give in to the pressure of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if they hear this interview, they're going to be like, well, he ain't going to win. You know, they're going to have something to say about it. But,
to me,
they won't understand. Like,
well, you know, to me, when you come from the inner cities,
you already won.
And you feel what I'm saying? And you successful at anything in life. You already won.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? And I don't know how many people made it to the league from Weber State.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people made it to the Hall of Fame
right.
from Weber State, but I knew you going to, right. you did both of them. So you feel what I'm saying?
No doubt.
So for me, it's like, I understand what you're saying when you say, you know, people get the pressure of, you know, the media put on them. And most of the time, the people who got the loudest mouth in the media be dudes like Stephen A. Smith, man, who was a half-ass ball player, man. No disrespect, but, like, he would have gave you 55 in middle school. So, like...
Sound like my game.
Come on, bro.
Shit like that be crazy, man.
He said, I dropped
it'd be crazy, on, man. It'd be crazy to sit back and see that, like, you guys aren't even athletic. Like, y'all, a lot of you guys don't even got an athletic bone in your body. And y'all sitting here criticizing one of the fastest, best shooting, most talented, athletic people on the planet Earth. And I'm not just saying as far as you. I'm saying, it, you know, in they do it to everybody. And it'd be like...
And it's what we... It's a part of the game that we play. So I'm not mad that they... Like, you're going to get criticized in anything. Like, people listen to albums and get right on Twitter and start critiquing it. Like, oh, this album weak, or I like two songs, or whatever. Like, you're going to get criticism in whatever world you live in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just speaking on, like, when they talk about what our legacy is going to be, or, like, right. what we should do, and this person should do that. But it's, like, it's easy for anybody to... try to give direction or say what somebody should do when it's empty consequences for them.
Right.
I could be like, man, you know what? You should move to Oakland.
Right.
Like, I don't know what that means for you.
Right.
But it's easy for me right. to say because my ass going to be living
and
where
they
I
sit
live.
On, they like, sit on there, sit on TV all day. Damian Lillard needs to get out of here. He needs to go to such a... He needs to... And it's like...
Like, for example, like, when I was in the bubble, me and Skip Bayless had a back and forth, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, I want you to come on my show and we can talk about it. And I'm like, I'm not going to come on the show because then I'm doing you a favor. Because people want to see us go back and forth when, like, I'm saying to you what I really feel and what I mean. You trying to get ratings. You right. worried about the show.
Right.
So then, like, it was back and forth. I just kind of let it go. Like, I'm not about to go back and forth with you. Like, I don't even know you like that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we had our back and forth. That was that. So then... Something else came up where they asked me something and I just said what I thought. Mm-hmm. And somebody sent me a clip where he was like, man, he's on here. You know, the problem with Dame is, you know, he talks like he has power. Like he talks like he's LeBron and he's not LeBron. And I'm like, see, that's part of the problem right there is right. you think I got to be
right.
arguably the greatest player of all time
right.
to be able to say something. Right. Like, what does that say? You right. know what I'm saying? And it's
right.
like...
So that's like, okay, because he's a little bit better player than me. He can say what he want, but
I don't have no voice.
You don't got the right to say that. And it's like, I don't speak from a place of, I don't speak comfortably because I feel like I'm one of the best players. I speak because I'm one of the most solid people.
I know who I am.
Exactly. So it has nothing to do, but the fact that...
I could be the 12th player off the bench.
Exactly.
And I want to say something. I want to say something that's important to guys out there that's trying to do their thing, that's trying to figure it out. And we got to talk about making it and what making it really is. You know how many people that was in Dame High School that's dead, that died in the streets of the town? You know how many people that's in the penitentiary right now? Since he was in high school, that was even, you know... in a gang or really didn't know themselves, just like I didn't. You know how many people? So I just believe, like, a lot of people, you can't speak for people coming from that bottom. A lot of people don't, your voice is not qualified or you don't have the credentials of that struggle to speak for people that come up out of that and to try to put this stuff on them. And a lot of times people be remixing stuff. We talking about sports, we talking about sports, but we can't talk about somebody having a voice and they speaking their opinion. That ain't got nothing to do with this. If you want to critique my game, you could do that. But when we talking about winning and we talking about winning coming from the inner cities of America, if you can make it out and you can reach back, you won more than any champion, any award that you can win. That's the win when you can reach back and give life to people that don't see life, to people that think tomorrow's not coming.
I'm talking about, we talking about a guy that reached back to people that the world forgot about. There's a big community of people out here that the world totally forgot about that's not being counted. Right. That's not, now I'm telling you, you can't even see, they're invisible. He reached back to people that's invisible to where as though the world made them feel as though they're visible where they can't even see themselves no more when they look in the mirror. Right. And he reached back and gave to them. That's championship shit.
Right.
Like, we could talk about all the trophies. We could talk about all the accolades. That's cool. But he's doing real stuff. So at the end of the day, if you out there, you doing real stuff, that's all that matter. And when you come from the ghetto, when you able to make it to a certain place and you ain't dead, you ain't in prison, you ain't strung out on drugs, you doing some major stuff.
Taking care of your mama, you taking care of your sisters, you providing for your family, your kids didn't grow up like you grew up. That's the true win.
You out here making moves.
That's
with
the true win.
With Adidas, 2K1, Toyota. How'd that go? Toyota.
The dealership?
Yeah.
I just partnered in the Toyota dealership.
That's major. And the reason I say that,
people going to buy cars forever, so...
That was major. Like, yeah, handling your business, you know, just how do you partner with certain people? And how do you, because you got Adidas, you got 2K, you got and all the other stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How did you have people that handle that for you? How did that come about?
I mean, I got representation, but they know that I turned down the money fast.
Yeah.
Like, because it ain't about the money. A lot of my partners, like, their initiatives and the stuff that they have planned and whatever they want to push, it got to be in line with who I am. Okay. If it's not, then why would we be partners? So that's like the main thing for me. So Adidas, like, even when you look at all my shoes, every colorway is telling a story. Like, it's something, it's a story being told through every colorway of the shoe. That was one of my things. Like, you ain't about to just give me some random story or just be telling anything. Like, it's going to mean something. Oh, and so I want to be a part of it.
You're a part of the whole, you sit there with the designer and go right in.
We meet every couple weeks, every shoe, every color. And Adidas is in Portland. So I drive. They be like, dang, what you doing? I be like, I'm coming. I just drive.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of people, like we were saying before, like, you pay them a bunch of money and then they put whatever product, and not just Adidas, I'm saying whatever company, they'll put whatever product out with your name on it. And a lot of times people just kind of like, man, they paid me this or they paid me that. But, like, is whatever being put out worth your name?
Product.
Exactly. You got to stand on it.
Yeah, right.
And then aside from that, I think, so like that's kind of like what it is for me, just making sure that they in line with who I am and the way I see stuff. And then something like the dealership is just like, you know, you got to, when your character is strong and you living off like principle and you stand for something, you're able to leverage your name instead of, you know, sometimes you can leverage your name. You can get involved with stuff because people want to be connected to us. You know what I'm saying? So because of who I am, not because of, well, obviously partially because of who I am as a basketball player, but when I put who I am as a person with that, then I'm able to get involved with stuff and, you know, it don't cost me nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they saying, well, we want you to put in $1 million or $2 million or all this. Like, sometimes you can just bring your name to stuff and people will pull you in rooms and you can invest in as far as you want, you know, whatever dollar amount you want. But at the very least, I'm in here just with my name because they want this affiliation because they know it's going to be strong. So it's either we in line and, you know, whatever the contract is, or it's just leveraging your name. But if your name is all over the place and you're just doing anything and everything and you're getting caught up here doing this and doing that, ain't nobody want to be tied to that. Right. So, I mean, I didn't set myself up to where, like, I'm at the point where now
life
I'm bringing my
basketball.
Yeah, I'm bringing my family in on stuff.
Right. You putting them in the handle, okay?
So, you earlier you mentioned about the, you know, the wifey, the kid.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part about being in the league and being married or being in a relationship and having kids? What's the worst part?
I think the worst thing is, like, it's an ongoing battle with just, like, being disciplined. Because, like, none of us is perfect. You know what I'm saying? We all got flaws. And you don't really, not a lot of times in life you get to the point where you just got access to damn near everything that you could desire.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whether that's like, all right, I want to fly to Maldives.
Right.
Or I want to go to party in L.A. And right. You know what I'm saying? Every famous woman you could think of is going to be there. Like, you just got access to everything that could get you in trouble or could get you in some shit. Like, everything is there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I didn't have my days, but, like, it's ongoing. Like, it never stopped. So it's almost like, man, you got to choose. Like, do you want to be
I just keep laughing because I'm thinking, like, how many bitches would be on this man if he made that walk all three? Like,
but you know what I'm saying, like, you could either look at it like, damn, all right, I came in the league, I was 21. Do I want to play 17, 18 years in the league and I walk away and I didn't live at all? Or do I just continue to be myself and, like, take solace in the fact that, all right, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. Like, all my family is in place. My kids happy, my girl happy. Like, which route do you go? You know what I'm saying? Or do you have people in your ear like, man, what you got to do is you can do this, but you got to have this and do that and do that. Like, where do you go?
Was it when you was going to these cities, when you first came in the game, was it women that just kept popping up, just stalking the players down?
No, it wasn't like when I first got in the league, everybody was making it seem like every city you go to is going to be 100 women in the lobby. You know what I'm saying? Just waiting. It wasn't like that. Like, it's easy to put yourself in rooms and places where it's at. And I don't mean like you're searching for it. You just got to be with the right person or in the right city and just want to eat. Or, I mean, it ain't hard to be in the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place, should I say. But it's not hard at all. But then what you see is, like, over time, when, you know, you start to become well-known, it's damn near impossible to put yourself out of reach.
And then do you notice that a lot of times you see a lot of the same
people, like,
everywhere.
The same people, like, the same places. Like, I'm a creature, like, habit. So, like, when I go to certain places, I just like what I like. I'll go eat here, I go eat there, and, you know, you're seeing the same people. Then you're seeing some people that's like, when you see them, you've seen them so many times that they speak to you like they really know you.
Right. What's up, baby?
And you got to think in your head, like, damn, I don't even know this new name like that. Like, I really don't. But I
but
feel
I've seen him
so many times that I understand why he think we know each other, but I don't even know his name. Right. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's scary, man. That's why I don't, like, I just told him I live in Portland in the summer because I'm like, man, you know what? When the season's over, I'm just going to stay here.
It's real calm here.
Yeah, it's just chill. It ain't too much going on. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, that's the best solution.
It don't seem like there's nothing going on out here. Was that the best solution when you first got to the league?
I mean, when I first got to the league, I was like, I was curious. So I was like trying to, like, everybody's like, man, everybody, come to L.A. Come do that. You know what I'm saying? Come kick it. So I go with some of my older teammates to L.A., kick it.
Then you had to get it out your system, spend a little money, fly around.
See, but that's just what I never did.
You never, like,
you never balled out?
Like, I mean, in what way?
Dang,
like, okay.
On
like,
everything.
Okay.
I'm, okay. Like, people be laughing at me because I spend money on what I want to spend money on, but I'm not just, like,
throwing it out.
I don't do strip clubs. You
coming from, you know, you coming from the inner cities of Oakland. Okay, now you got money. Oh, we flying to Miami. All right, I'm out.
Okay, oh, yeah, I'll do some random. Yeah. Like, I'll tell all my cousins.
I'm out. Okay,
so you PJ or you riding commercial?
No, I fly private now.
Right, yeah.
But, like, now it's to the point where I, like, what I did do when I was younger, I'd be like, somebody will take me to a party. Like, my second year, I hit the shot against the Rockets, and I was nominated for an ESPY. So I went with my brother and one of my best friends to the ESPY. So we leave the ESPYs, go to the after party, we leave there, go to the club, then we leave there, went to, Drake had a party at a house in Calabasas or something crazy like that. And that was like my first time in LA where I was just,
damn,
I was just seeing everybody, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like people that I had never met. Yeah. I'm just seeing this person, seeing that person. I'm just like, damn, like this could be this easy to just be around all this. Like I was just like, I was puzzled. Right. So then the next time I was about to go, I'm hitting my cousin like, y'all trying to go to L.A.? So now I'm going to L.A. with 8 of my cousins, and we just kicking it. But we was never on wild time. Like, we was never just, to this day, we don't just be on, we'll go to Cabo with just us, you know what I'm saying, and just kick it. But it was never, we was never on that, you know, still to this day.
How do you feel about real estate?
What about it?
Like, you invest?
Yeah, I invest in real estate, but I think it's something that you can lose control of easy. So I don't just
When you say lose control, what you mean?
I mean, like, if you having properties all over the place before anything kick off with any of them, you could just be holding on to real estate. And it might have some value, but people might not be able to afford to buy it from you, or you might not be able to build nothing on it or have nobody lease it. It's a lot of moving parts to, you know, to own in real estate. So if you look at, like, Antoine Walker's situation, you know, he came and spoke to our team, and basically he
used to play for the Celtics.
Yeah.
We had the same type. You remember they used to say me and him had the same type. But basically, I'm just saying, that's what they said.
He had a situation where he bought up a bunch of real estate in Chicago. Like, he had a bunch of different...
How much he spent a shitload of money.
It was a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. Like, millions and millions of dollars. But he had a bunch of projects going on. And it was like, everybody was saying get into real estate. And he had all this stuff going on. And when you do this, you need somebody to manage all these properties. Somebody to be in control of it. Because we not going to have time to do that. And I have issues with putting people in charge of shit that I'm responsible for. Right. So that's another reason why I keep real estate to a level that I can oversee and that I can control, which is why I'm not about to just go crazy, or I wouldn't at least. And basically, you know, the person that was managing some of his property started doing little side deals and stopped taking, he basically wasn't handling
his business
and doing what was supposed to be done, but it was on his dime. So it ended up hurting him in the long run, and he losing properties, and, you know, before you know it, he the one that got to pay up.
So I know you hadn't heard of Rona Proof then.
Heard of what?
Rona Proof.
What's that?
I love people asking what Rona Proof is. It's a real estate strategy. So a lot of people think real estate like you do, the traditional buy and hold strategy, mm-hmm. where you got to manage the property. Well, it's a strategy called wholesaling, basically where we just middleman deals. So I go find a homeowner that needs to sell his property. It might be a distressed property. As I was actually riding down the street, I looked at a couple that I'm going to go look at as far as opportunities. But what you do is, You find a homeowner that's actually trying to get rid of a property, and then you middleman the homeowner and the actual cash buyer. So you don't even have to, it's almost like a broker or a middleman of real estate deals. So now you avoid and having to put that money in. You getting a cut of the deal.
I mean, I had the experience with that, like during the pandemic, but it was my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought my mom a nice house.
Right.
So basically, I ran into one of those people. They're going around dropping notes at the gates and doing all that. Like, hey, we want to buy your house. But then they try to lowball you. They want you to, they want to buy your house for cheap.
Mm-hmm. That's a strategy.
Exactly. But I mean, ain't nobody stupid out here. I can afford to hold on to my properties. Right. I just don't want to be buying a bunch of them. So, I mean, I think with that is just, you know, I'm not about to sell you a property that's worth $4 million for
right.
1.8.
You
think I can't afford to keep it because it was like.
So that's what a lot of people, like during the pandemic, right, you got a lot of people that were losing properties because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So
that's how they get them, though.
Right. And that's what happens. So I teach people, like, who don't have the means to go out here and get the real estate license. They might have a bad background or whatever. Another way to be able to make money legit. And that was, you know, you finding properties right now that the reality is the bank going to take it back anyway.
Right.
So a lot of people like, well, this person, the middleman, he trying to, you know, come up. Well, the reality is the bank is going to take this property back. So instead of just letting somebody take a complete loss, now you can at least let them get paid on the way out. So it's a great way for people to get into the game and start flipping real estate contracts.
For sure.
That is. That's what he do. He teach people.
Yeah, that's real estate heavy. Yeah.
It's money with no money. Like
you heard what Mozzie said. When they ask me where I'm from, I always be precise. And if I middleman to play, then I'm going to tweak the price. That's what I always think. Middleman always trying to tweak the price, man.
Hey, that's my guy, too.
Yeah.
Man. Shout
like
out to Miles.
2020 been crazy. RonaProof.com for anybody that's interested in getting on there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so,
he owned trademark.
So basically, look what I did. People used to think that you had to physically go to the property to be able to do the deal. I'm teaching people how to do it from a computer at home. So now during the pandemic, where people is trying to figure out ways to make money, right. I done helped people literally watching this show make over $1.4 million during the pandemic. So people in the hood,
I'm gonna have to no other way,
right? That's the thing. A lot of people be thinking like, hey, I gotta go to the house. Man, I got people literally sitting at a keyboard,
just
15,000,
20,000, 40,000.
All on my IG feed. 5,000, 10,000.
But I made 7,000, made 20,000.
And what's crazy is that it started to provide people that came out the hood with no opportunity now, ways to make money and don't have to go expose themselves. Right. And that's what was the most important to me because I wanted to make that impact.
Expose themselves after the pandemic, making money on the computer like that.
Yep. And that was cool, man. That was dope.
Well, man, Dane, we want to appreciate you, man.
Hey, can I ask Dane one question? Because me and you been going back and forth about this shit, man, and I want to know what Dane think about this shit because he actually came from a small school. Because you think you know every fucking thing basketball.
He be on point, though.
But no, Dane, hold on, Dane. So me and Gil been doing this bullshit, going back and forth. He like, oh, you giving yourself the curse if you go to a black HBCU. Not a curse, but you basically eliminating your chances of being a top five pick. So Dame Lillard, coming out of high school right now, if you could, would you go to an HBCU?
I mean, me personally, I wouldn't because I needed to be in the best situation possible. Like if I was a top 10 player in the country in high school, and I really felt it in my heart that, like, this is what I want to do, then I would do it. But if I'm somebody that's just like, a lot of these kids, man, they don't have a mind of their own. They got managers. They got people telling them PR stunts and do this and you should do that or whatever. But if it's not in their heart to really do this and go through with it, like, just go to wherever you're going
to
go.
So you say you go to Kentucky instead of you wouldn't, like.
Well, I don't think it really strike a chord with a lot of them. Like, I don't think they really care that much to go to a HBCU. Like, some of them might commit to one and then just go to the G League or whatever. But I feel like if I was a top player,
He's going to Duke, Michigan, Kentucky, Carolina. He's going to play on TV every Saturday at 12 or 3 or 6.
No,
he's
going
to be first on the highlights on ESPN.
I think if you're a top player, like if you're number one, number two, number three in high school, whatever, if you go to an HBCU, them cameras going to follow you because it's just different now. They're going to follow you.
And they follow Thon Maker. He had 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 turnovers, and he lost by 20 to Belmont. You see why you don't go to Howard? Because you know why? You go to Kentucky, and you have 11 points and 8 rebounds. You get drafted in the first round. You know why? Because he couldn't score but so many points. They got 5 All-Americans on the court. You go to Howard, and you score 11 points, 8 rebounds. You might be in the G League next year. All right? I'm just going
to
tell you that.
They're going to be more critical because they're going to expect you to dominate at that
level. Right. They're going to expect you to do so much more because they like, first of all, you're a 5-star athlete. You're playing against 2-star athletes. You had a, wait, hold on. That guy just dunked on you?
Yeah.
Wait, that 2-star center that goes to Belmont just dunked on you?
It ain't fair, but it's a sacrifice. Because, like he's saying, if you go to Kentucky, you playing with the best players, so they automatically expecting your numbers to be average.
Right.
And you also playing with the best players, so y'all probably going to be winning, and they're going to just be like, they're going to view you the same as they viewed you coming out of high school.
Right.
So, I get it, right?
It but
we know what everybody doing right now. Everybody like pro-black. Let's move for the culture. So,
well, if you really like that, then go to an HBCU. I think when you go, if you go to an HBCU for the wrong reasons, you're going to go there and underperform. Because you're going to go there and you're going to be like, it's just going to be different for you.
My whole thing is, if I'm a 5-star athlete, right, this is not no personal shit. This is a business decision, man. I'm the top tier of athletes, man. I have a chance to go and make millions of dollars, man. Okay, Black Lives Matter. Guess what? Black lives won't really matter after I make it to the league and make these millions and change a couple black lives in the hood. Real lives. Me going to this HBCU and they put me, I'm going to have to average 40 points, 20 rebounds, 7 blocks to be drafted in the top 5, man.
If I was a point guard that was ranked in the top 5 coming out of high school, I would try to get the other players to come to an HBCU with me.
That's what I told you.
But they got to commit first.
That's what I told you.
But if they do that.
Hey, look, that's what I told you, bro.
If they do that,
that's
what I told you. Everybody asks, and it'll be.
That's what I said. You see, you got to have all of it. That's what I was telling you, bro.
Okay.
They going to the league.
But this is what I'm trying to tell you. We walk you in to Howard University, right? We walk you through the locker rooms, right? We get you to the stadium. We hold 6,200. Okay. Now to get you to Kentucky.
They got $100 million facility. As you walking through, they got all the strength and conditioning team there. They got everybody on there. How you doing, Mike? We've been waiting for you, baby. They bring you in. They show you. Forget, they ain't even gonna, they don't even got to go back in time. They just going to show you. Just the last 15 years, we sent all of those players to the NBA. Look at that, dude. Look at that. We're just a, we're a machine for NBA players.
That's what happened when they recruited me for Penn State.
Hold on.
So it was like.
Then they walk you out into the stadium.
I went to Penn State.
They like this. 26,000 screaming Kentucky fans.
They might have the fans there for you.
Might have the fans already in the building just for you.
I ain't gonna hold you.
Tony, you're not going to Howard. You're like, well, I signed up.
See, he don't know the game. When they was recruiting me from Penn State and they took me on campus, you know how many women, you know how many women they had in my room waiting for me in the dorm room? It's crazy.
When I got to Weber, it was like, I was like, all right, I got the best relationship with this staff. I know it's a lower level school, like, bigger schools tried to later. They was like, well, we waiting on this guy or this guy. We, you know, they didn't really know. So I get on my visit to Weber, and the first place I go from the hotel is to the arena. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is a small school, a mid-major school, but they got a real arena in here. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a real, like, we played in a real arena. So once I seen that, like, I was like, I'm coming here. Like, that was it for me. So
like
it,
yeah.
So it's like I really wasn't looking for nothing fancy, but it was something like that where I was like, damn, like, yeah, this it.
When he got near, he was like, they see how many?
Yeah, for real.
Okay, Weber State's not that bad. Yeah. I can make it happen here.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. That's all I'm saying, bro. It's like, is it? Then let's be for real. Kentucky is like, give your mom that. What's wrong with you?
I don't want to be the one.
What are you,
wait, no, said, no.
What are you talking dad about?
Texas.
Y'all know y'all tired of living in the hood. What are you talking about? Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, this is keys to a Benz. I didn't give that to you. But coach, you dropped the keys to the Benz. What keys? I didn't get no keys to no Benz. Shit. What are you talking about?
I was number 77.
You talk about that Benz, they got your mom's name on it, which that's in your mama's name. I don't know nothing about them keys. You know what they saying? At Howard, give you lunch if you eat for the week. It's your per diem to eat.
Something different, man.
I'm just saying.
Especially if you got one of bulldog uncles or dads, you really get in the back. Oh, no, because your dad going to come in there. Well, Florida State was calling us. Come here, Dad. Let me talk to you. You dropped the brown paper, a bag. It's a bag of money that come from the grocery. I think it was yours. It's in your trunk.
Man.
Come on, man.
That's what I'm telling you. It's like, come on, man. Here they just gave Zion that money, man.
It's crazy.
Dave really had to work for every knob. Dave,
I ain't get a penny.
Dave had to work for every knob. Dave was at Weber State starving, putting up 40s. 34.
I'm going to tell you how about a book my school was. So I went. I go on my visit. I come back. They come visit me in Oakland. They do an in-home visit. And when I was on my visit, they team shoes that they had. I was like, man, I want some of those. They was like, all right, you know. They was like, all right, you know, but, you know, it's against the rules, whatever, whatever, but we'll see what we can do. So they came to Oakland, and I committed to them. And I literally bought my, the team shoes they had. I paid for them, like, after I committed to them, I paid them for the shoe because they couldn't just give me the shoe. Like,
oh, they was hurting.
Like, them small schools don't play that shit, man.
They don't play that. They like, you ain't
all them infractions and all that? Nah.
No, because you know what? Let Howard have some infractions. The whole basketball program is over.
Right.
And 3 years is done. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Kentucky, they, shut up.
They already struggling to fund the program. Like,
that's what I'm saying. So, you know what I mean? Thank you for bringing that up. But, Dane, man, we appreciate you coming through, man.
For sure.
Yeah, you know I mean,
I gotta get you on the court, man. Test your game out, man.
I tried to test him. I wanted to go to the boxing gym with him. I called him. I said, I want to go to the boxing gym. I want to go to the court.
I want to go to the court. I want to go to the boxing gym. I want to do both of them. But he had already did it before I touched down. So he had an excuse for when I touched down.
Not a game, big.
Yeah, I mean, but we appreciate you for tapping
in, man.
We didn't
even talk boxing or nothing, man. I'm going to have to come back on.
No, we got...
But I got a cut, though.
I know. Cut. Oh, all right. Well, hold on. Who the top five youngest boxers right now on the up and coming?
Top five young boxers?
Yes.
I got Teofimo Lopez, Boots, Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, Ryan Garcia, and David Benavidez.
That's a nice. Only one I don't agree with you is Ryan Garcia.
Devin gonna beat him, right?
I think Ryan Garcia.
Everybody think he's sweet. Think he's sweet.
You know why I think he's sweet? Because I see Ryan Garcia go 1-2 and his head's right here.
Stay right there.
That joint don't move. It ain't no 1-2. Nothing. It's just 1-2. Taco shell. Give me it out. That's all
I just think with all of them, we just got to see. Like, Teofimo Lopez, the only one we done seen in there with somebody that was like that.
And right.
So you can everybody get, else, I feel like they all, you didn't they say all Tank. Look good. See Tank what?
You didn't say Tank.
I mean, I think Tank is like a little older. Further past that.
You think he older?
Tank like 25, ain't he?
But Tank ain't fought nobody, though.
Yo, stop putting smut on Tank name.
No. Tank, don't.
If you consider him a young fighter, he right, he in that group,
no,
too.
No, I'm not taking away no talent from Tank. But, bro, Tank, he fought Jose Pedraza. I'll give him that.
He beat the shit out of Pedraza.
Yes, he fought Jose Pedraza. He fought a washed-up Gamboa.
Pedraza, Gamboa. Who he just beat? Leo Santa Cruz. That was a real fight.
Oh, Leo Santa Cruz. All right.
That's a real fight.
But Leo Santa Cruz, 126-pounder.
That's true, but he's still... He looked perfectly fine at that weight.
Mm. He's 126 pounder.
I mean, you can say the same shit for Loma.
Right. That's why I knew Lomachenko wasn't going to beat Teofimo Lopez. And then I bet on Teofimo Lopez.
You called that shit.
I bet on him, too.
I told you. I said he's not going
to. I was shocked on that. But I ain't even going to lie. That one shocked me.
So, but.
If you consider Tank a young fighter, he definitely. In that mix, too.
I do consider Tank a young fighter.
Well, he in that, too. I would definitely say Tank.
Who's the best young fighter out right now? You gotta limit it to one right now before you get out of here. The best young fighter right now. No, you got to limit it to one.
You got one.
I'm going to say Jerron Boots Ennis.
Boots.
I'm going to say he's the best young fighter out right now, and I'm going to say if he fought any of the top welterweights right now, he'll whitewash. All of them. Exclude Danny Garcia from there because he's from Philly.
Mad at you saying he the best young fighter. Like, I think that's very much possible. He ain't washing every 147.
Yes, he will.
Could he possibly beat every 147?
No, he'll whitewash.
That's fair. I can't agree with that.
Easy work.
I can't agree with
who
that.
Who will give him problems?
And I like him.
Who will give him problems?
All the top five.
Who?
Bud Crawford, Errol Spence, Danny Garcia. Keith Thurman, Pacquiao.
You're excluding Danny because he's from Philly. We're not talking about Danny.
All them top dudes. Sean Porter, he got a real fight if he fight all them. That don't mean
he got a real fight, but he going to get them out of here. That's what I'm telling you.
We don't know that.
No. I'm telling you. He going to whitewash him. He going to whitewash
him. I don't agree with that.
Whitewash is
I agree with
eight him rounds to four rounds. Nine rounds to three rounds. He going to whitewash him.
I mean, you talking to a fan of his, so I'm just telling you what I really think. I don't think he washing all them dudes. He got a real fight. Could he beat him? Maybe. Like
No. Ain't no maybe. He can beat.
Maybe.
He can beat Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford.
You're right. He can beat him.
Sean Porter.
Will he beat him?
No, he will. If they ever give an opportunity, Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, Sean Porter, Keith Thurman, Manny Pacquiao, he'll punch Manny Pacquiao into a coma, man. Manny Pacquiao is little as shit. He like 5'6", man. That boy is 5'11". He is a monster. And his defense, I'm a defensive fighter first. I remember when his pop at 10 years old said, oh, we don't wear mouthpieces. We don't get hit.
I seen that.
Because that's how me and his pop came up, because we did martial arts together.
Shut up, man.
What you mean? What you mean? We did martial arts.
First of all, he was in one physical altercation. It wasn't even a boxing match.
I'm just saying.
With the dead eye.
That don't count. That wasn't no martial arts shit.
Bam.
That wasn't martial arts.
He goes straight to the ground and damn near up under a car, Dane.
But that don't count.
Like he would, like the mechanic at Jiffy Lube.
That wasn't in the gym. That don't count.
That was the only time you ever got some physical altercation.
On my record. That don't count. That was just an L, regular neighborhood.
So
L.
We got listen, for Errol Spence or Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia.
I got Spence.
Put a little friendly wager on it.
It's whatever we want to do. See, what we gotta make clear is I like Danny.
Oh, all right.
I just think Spence gonna win this fight.
Okay, well, unfortunately, this episode will come out after the Spence and Danny Garcia fight, so we'll be able to see who knew what they was talking about, who was really the boxing.
But you said he gonna put him to sleep.
I said he gonna stop Errol Spence.
We can bet on that.
No. I'm betting Danny Garcia win. I'm not betting him to stop it. Like, you ain't gonna set me up.
I bet you on a win.
Yeah.
I bet money on Spence.
What you want to bet?
Whatever you want to bet.
Wrong B, I'm not testing you.
I know you ain't. I'm just saying whatever you want to bet.
Like, I'm not testing your pockets.
I don't get into that, man.
I ain't testing you. I'm just saying, you know, we can bet friendly little 500 or something. Right. You know, just
bet
just
good. Bet good.
That shit look good when nobody right there.
I knock you out. You know I tend to your window. Stop playing.
I wrestle. I wrestle.
Hey, man, appreciate you for tuning in each and every week, man.
Dame Dollar's Worth of Game,
Logo Dame. Logo Lilith. Dame Dollar.
AK the Assassin.
The AK the Assassin, man. We appreciate you for coming through, brother.
Me.
Yeah, I mean, wish you the best of luck. That championship coming soon. I know it is. We're going to speak it into existence. You might get it this year, long as you don't play the Sixers in the finals. Yeah,
man.
Cook the shit out of the Sixers, man. Fuck out.
Yeah, come on, man.
You a hater, man. And it's just like that.
Right.